Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Mother Valerie. Your line is open and you are hosting.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, people of God. Good morning, everybody. It's just a beautiful, beautiful morning, and it reminds me of Los Angeles, because right now it's foggy, very foggy. So we're just going to go in prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you for this day, for this is the day that you made, and we shall rejoice and be glad. Thank you, God, for giving us another day to get it right. We praise your name. And God bless the pastors as they travel on the flight, and let no hurt, harm, or danger. Ministering angels of God encamp all around about them. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to them in any kind of way. Keep them safe and bring them back safely. And we thank you, God. We just praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise. And we give you the highest praise. Abba. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I'll pray. Oh, it's a wonderful day. Beautiful day. I'm going to start off with Isaiah 47:1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the tenders. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind meal. Remove your veil. Take off the skirt. Uncover the thigh. Pass through the rivers, your nakedness shall be covered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not abrogate with the man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit in silence, go into darkness, O daughter of the chandeliers, for you shall no longer be called the Lady of Kingdom. I was angry with my people. I have profaned my inheritance and given them into your hand. You showed them no mercy. Oh, the elderly, you laid your yoke very heavily. And you said, I shall be a lady forever, so that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the latter end of them. Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am. And there is no one else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitudes of your sorcery, for the great abundance of your enchantment. For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have wrapped you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. I mean, that's what God says. You can't say the things that God say. God said that he is. God am. He's the great I am. And you have said in your heart, I am. And there is no one besides me. Therefore, evil shall come upon you. You shall not know from where it arrives, and trouble shall fall upon you. You have to be very and very, very careful praising yourself. Let other people praise you. You said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. Whoa! You will not be able to put it all. Desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. Stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you would be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are weary in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly procrastinators stand up and save you. From what shall come upon you? Behold, they shall be as a stubble, the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flames. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. Thus shall they be to you with whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall not wander each one to his quarter. No one shall save you. No one. In chapter 48. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, come forth from the wellsprings of Judah. Swear by the name of the Lord. Make mention of God of Israel, but not in truth. It says, but not in truth or in righteousness. For they call themselves after the holy city, lean on the God of Israel. Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. Because I knew that you were obstinate, and your nape was sinew, and your brow was bronze, and even from the beginning I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you. Least you should say, my idol has done them, and my car image and my mold image have commanded them. How can an idol and an image command anything when it's the work of your own hand? You make something with your hand and then say, my car image and my mold image have commanded them. You have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning. And before this day, you have not heard them. These you should say, of course, I knew them. Surely you did not hear. Surely you did not know. Surely from long ago, your ear was not open. For I knew that you would deal very treacherously and would call a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake, I will defer my anger, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory? I will not give my glory to another. Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, my call. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Indeed, my hand have laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. All of you, assemble yourselves and hear. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He shall do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him. I brought him, and his way will prosper. Come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that I was there. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you the prophet, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heed my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and the offspring of your body like the grains of sand. His name would not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go forth from Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans with the voice of singing. Declare, proclaim this, utter it to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord. There is no peace for the wicked. The wicked have money, and they have this, but the Bible says there's no peace for the wicked. And the Bible, when the Bible states a thing, it is true. There is no peace for the wicked. Like, listen, Isaiah 48 and 9. For my praise, I will strain it from you so that I do not cut you off. We owe our salvation to the love and grace of God and not to anyone else. God saved us for his name's sake, not because we deserve it or was somehow worth more than the Son who died for us. God saved us. We're the children of God. God saved us for his name's sake. We didn't deserve to be saved, not with all the stuff I was doing, not with all the stuff you were doing. We didn't deserve to be saved. God saved us yet while we were a sinner doing our stuff. He saved us. Isaiah 48:17. I am the Lord your God who teaches you the prophets, lead you by the way you should go. God may sometimes lead you into tight spots and difficult circumstances, but whenever he guides you, he does it to do you good in the end. A lot of times when we have problems, we want to be like the microwave. Let's do it in 30 seconds. But sometimes it doesn't work like that. You have to have patience. You have to trust God. You have to have faith. And faith is only one thing, believing. You have to believe what God says. Trust him like a child. If you tell a child to jump out the window, and you're the father or the mother, the child going to do exactly what you say to do, jump out the window. So if God says, be still and know that I am God. I'm God. I'm handling all your problems today. I'll do everything for you today. Just take it to the altar. Take it to the throne and not to the phone and leave it there. A lot of times we will take things to the altar. We'll do it. But then we pick it back up. We don't leave it there. And he's telling us, take it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Don't pick things back up and try to do things your way. No, do things Yahweh. Do things his way. And we've been talking about that all week long. Take it to the throne, not to go to the phone. And if we do that, oh my, we'd be so happy. I am the Lord, your God. I am the Lord. God tells us in his word, there is nobody else. There is nothing else out there. I mean, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. He said, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. God can tell a thing from the beginning. He can tell the things from the beginning to the end. Nobody can do that but God. God wants you to know him and know that he made the heaven. He made the earth. He created everything. There's none besides God. And when you know that you know that you know that you know there's nothing else but God, he's everything, then nobody can convince you differently. I listen to my brother sometime, and he keeps telling me, oh, you're not going to go to heaven. There's no going to be no rapture catching away of the church. When you die, you're gone. You're going back to dust. Nothing else is to be looking forward to. He said, who have deceived you? And I keep on telling him, Dennis, who have deceived you? You're letting the devil deceive you. And if you don't straighten up your talk and straighten up your walk, then you're not going to have anything to look forward to but hell. And he just sits there and laughs because he's a non-believer. He believes that there is a God, but he don't believe that there is anything after you die. I mean, Jesus got up. He got up. If he got up out that grave, there is no grave going to hold his body down. It means that I'm getting up too. I'm just like my Lord. I'm going to get up. I'll rise again. that no power on earth can hold us when it's time to go in that rapture of cure. We are going to rise. I believe it. I truly believe it in my heart. You cannot change me with nothing else. I'm going back to be with the Lord, my spirit. Psalms 11, 7 and 10. The works of his hand overtly and justice, all his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. God made a covenant. And the other day, I saw a rainbow in the sky. He said it would not rain in 40 days. Or 40 nights on the earth anymore, and he put a rainbow in the sky. And I saw that rainbow when we had all that rain. I took a picture of it, and I sent it to Pat Bridget. And boy, God put a rainbow in the sky, letting us know that it wouldn't rain 40 days and 40 nights no more. He's holy and awesome is his name. Life lesson, Psalms 111:10. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. The more we strive by God's Spirit to obey God's commandments, the more understanding he gives us of his word. Jesus said, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, John 7:17. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. And Pastor Jesse was telling us about wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. They say, hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise. He tells us how to praise him. Say the word hallelujah. Lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. The fear of the Lord, and they're not talking about, you know, like you being fearful. It means that he's awesome. Respect who he is. He's God. He's Almighty God. And yet and still, he treats you like a child. You are his child. He said, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't do that. You think you know it all, and you put other people down. That's being wise in your own eyes. And it said there is more hope for a fool than for him. So don't be wise in your own eyes. I'm reading Galatians 6:1. Galatians 6:1-18. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. And Pastor Jesse was talking, this is our season. This is our season to reap what we have sowed. Pastor Jesse said, everybody, she's looking forward when she can look outside, and everybody is driving a new car, the car that they choose to drive. Everybody. And I'll be looking at my pastor, and she gets happy. She said, this is our season. This is our season to reap what we have sowed. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And that's what we're striving to do. We're striving to walk in the Spirit, love, gentleness. We're striving to walk in the Spirit, turn the other. I'm not saying turn the other cheek and all of these different things are easy, but we're striving to be more like Jesus. He died for us, so let us live for him. I mean, to die, somebody to die for you, I know I wouldn't die for you. maybe for my child, if I saw my child in danger, I would grab my baby and run. I ain't going to die for nobody. You know, and I just wondered if anybody would die for anybody. But our Lord died for us. He was innocent. He gave his life. He did nothing wrong. He was innocent, like a lamb led to the slaughter. He was innocent, and he died for us. He crucified him. The Pharisees, they hollered, crucified him, and they let old Barabbas go free. Jesus didn't deserve to die, but he did. He died for us so that we could live for him, and we should do that. We really should, so we can live for him. And it's not a bad life. It's a good life. You don't wake up in the morning with a hangover. You don't wake up in the morning not knowing where you are or who you slept with. No, it's a good life. And like that movie was, it's a good life. Yeah, it is truly a good life. I mean, God is good. He's good all the time, not just sometimes. He's good all the time. Even when you're going through something in your body, you might be going through something in your body. Like my sisters, Rita been going through something in her body for 10 years. And Janice is going through something in her body. But yet and still, they praise the Lord. God said, everything that have breath, praise ye the Lord. Let the trees praise the Lord. And it's just a pleasure to see Rita because she's praising God. Praising God. It's just wonderful to see Mother Holly and Evangelist Teresa, Brother Lewis, Deacon Ken, different people that are going through stuff in their body. And they continue to praise God. And that's what we have to do. I mean, like Job told his wife, you talk foolish. You talk foolish, woman. I'm not cursing God. And the song is Mercy, by Mercy People, Mercy Praise. They said, what if? What if God don't deliver you? What if you can't get out of the situation until you die? They said, what if? What if you have to go through something? What if? You're going to stop praising God? That song is just beautiful. We have so many beautiful songs to express our feelings toward God. And I was listening, before Pastor Bridget called me, I was listening to the song Yahweh. And he was just saying, Yahweh, Yahweh, give him praise, lift him up for who he is. He's God, Yahweh, he is God. So what if God don't deliver you? What if he don't? You going to stop praising him because he don't? And just like Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. That I'm going to praise God. And he did. Sometimes your troubles don't, they come, but they don't last for always. I mean, I always play the song every other day or sometimes twice a day. This too will pass. It will pass. And I make up in my mind. I choose, no matter what you do, what you say, I can make a choice. And I choose to be happy. I choose to be Pollyanna. I choose to be happy. And I tell Chase the same thing, make a choice. I mean, people do things, they do dirty, dirty things to other people, and you don't deserve this. You know you don't deserve it, but you can forgive them and choose to be happy in spite of, because they don't care how you feel. They really don't. So you can make a quality choice. You can choose to be happy in spite of what you're going through. And you probably say, well, you know, honey, all right. But I do. I make a choice to be happy. I do. It said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows that he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us all not grow weary. Don't grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. It said, don't grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. My God, my God. For as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We, as the children of God that belongs to the Table of Life ministry, we should do good one to another. Pastor's always talking about unity, loving one another, love, joy, and peace is found at the table. And that's what we want. We want that. We want people, when they come in, to find love, joy, and peace in unity. It said, let us do good to all. To all. Well, to all people. But then it says, especially to those who are of the household of what we are, the household of faith. So we naturally should treat each other with respect, with love, no gossiping, have unity, and show that one for another. See, with what Lord's letters I have written to you with my own hand, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Life lessons, bearing one another's burdens. Many people object to the idea of accountability because they don't see how other people's actions are of any of their business. But the Bible insists that we, in the body of Christ, all have a responsibility to one another. Mm-hmm. Paul taught that if a believer is caught in sin, the strong members of the church are to help shoulder the responsibility of that person's sin. They are to work with the sinner to help him get back on track, not to just study, accuse him of doing this, accuse him of doing that, pointing the finger. No, you go to him with a gentle spirit and help him. Don't, you know, when a person is down, don't try to make them get downer. And keep on pointing the finger. No, you help them. Show compassion. Show mercy. Show love. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not of the world, and we're not like the world. They are to work with the sinner. They help them get back on track. This implies that our sin is other people's business. And their sin becomes part of our responsibility. Nowhere in Scripture are we told that our sin is something just between us and God. A woman in our church in Miami was married for only a short time when her husband revealed his homosexuality. Soon afterwards, he left her to be with his lover. And she told me something I should never forget. After I was divorced, she said, several of my friends came to me and said they knew that he was gay before we were married. When I asked them why they didn't say anything, they replied, "We didn't think it was any of our business." After hearing her story, I made up my mind never to stand by quietly and watch a friend make what I'm sure was a mistake. This resolution occasionally makes me very unpopular. People have left the church over things I have confronted them about. But when I start thinking that maybe I should keep my mouth shut, I always remember Solomon's words. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterwards than he who flatters with the tongue. So what he's saying in this, that if you know a person is gay, you know that they're gay, then you should warn the person that the person is gay, and then if they want to marry that person anyway, that's left up on them. But you should say something. That's what he's saying. He said, but when I start thinking that maybe I should keep my mouth shut, I always remember Solomon's words. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterwards than he who flatters with the tongue. It amazes me how often people come back to me or write letters to apologize for their reaction to my warning. More often than not, they admit that they should have listened. Remember this, in an accountability relationship, you're not responsible for how the other person responds to you, but you are responsible to tell the truth and then continue to love that person through the process. There are the words again, love one another. Said love your neighbor as you love yourself, and if you can't love yourself, then how can you love your neighbor? The Bible speaks on love. Love, love, love. Love, love makes the world turn around. It's all about love. And in the end, when you die, it's not about your money, your clothes, your house, your car. No, it's going to be about love. How many people did you help? How many people did you tell about Jesus? Did you help people when they were in stress? Did you hug a person? Did you smile at someone? Not going to be about the money. Oh, how much money you have accumulated. And you're 80 or 90 years old. Those things really are not important. God will take care of you. He put a roof over your head. He's going to take care of you. And you can help take care of others. There's something you can do. Even at 80 and 90, there is something to be done. Even if it's just hello, hi, a nice smile. A lot of times people don't want to be hugged. So, you know, you kind of be careful about hugging people if you get the impression that they're not huggers. But you can give them a smile and ask them, how was your day? You know, smile. Sometimes you see people and they look mean. And we do have some mean saints, and some people just look mean. And some people look mean, but they're not mean. It's just that their expressions are mean. They might be going through something and might have be having a bad day. Some people just look mean. Galatians 6:2, life lesson, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. No maturing Christian can ever say, I don't need the church. Jesus tells us that we all have work to do in the church. We cannot carry the burden of those we have nothing to do with. So we have to be in each other's life. We do. It's just like here in the building, a lady was telling me about her baby being born and something is wrong with the child. And I told her I would pray for that baby. I mean, God wants us to interact one with another. And don't be afraid to tell a person. Sometimes you can tell a stranger or tell a person. You don't tell everybody, but you tell a person what's going on in your life so that they can pray for you. When you are at the altar and people come up for prayer, sometimes God tells you what they need, and they just say, well, I come up for general prayer. And then usually I ask God, even before I, you know, be on the altar praying for people, God, you tell me what to say to this person. God, I don't know what they need. I don't know what they want. Let my words be your words and not my words. Pastor Jesse will say that all the time, that the words of my mouth hide me. Don't let it be me. Let it be you. And I say that before I pray for anybody. God, you use me to speak to this person, to tell this person what they should do. And if they say a gentle prayer, let it be your words, not my words. Not me talking, but you talk. God is just good. Galatians 6 and 7, do not be deceived. Paul often used this phrase, do not deceive, probably because many of us are. He wants to remind us that our actions always have a consequence, either for good or for bad. To think otherwise is to be deceived. So the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. Galatians 6:15, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. God intends to make us into totally new people, not by tinkering with different kinds of religious rituals or by trying to reform our behavior, but he's changing us through his spirit into the likeness of Christ. That's what he's doing. It's that Christ dwells in us. So if you go into a tavern to get drunk or go and get in somebody else's bed to fornicate, you're taking Jesus and he's in you. He's in you. So you're taking him to get drunk. You're taking the Holy Spirit to fornication because God dwells in you. He's in you. And you have to be very, very careful of what you do. Isaiah 49, listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you people from afar. Lord has called me from the womb. God has called me from the womb. And that's what each and every one of us, you know what, because God knows exactly. He knows from the womb what he knows the beginning, from the end and the end, from the beginning. He knows that God has called you from the womb. He knows you. He knows exactly who's going to answer, who's not going to answer. He knows you. He knows you in the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord and my work with my God. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord and my work with my God. My niece tells me all the time. She said, you might not get rewarded on earth for what you do. She said, but when you get to heaven, auntie, you're going to get your just reward. And I have to laugh. And my brother says the same thing. Well, you're not going to get paid for the things that you do. I'm not looking to get paid for the things I do. The things that I do for people are from my heart. If I give you a ride, it's because I want to give you a ride in my car. If I don't give you a ride, then I don't. You don't do things looking for a reward. And you know what? A lot of things you do for people, you're not going to do for you. I used to lend my car, and they say, girl, you crazy. I used to lend my car to people that would ask for it for a week or two, and I know I'm not using it, and I can I can use the bus, or I can call the van to get a ride to church, and then my nephew have the car, and I used to get up early, early in the morning. I don't like getting up early in the morning, but I do now. It's okay because I'm getting adjusted to it. I get up early in the morning for God, and then Pastor goes to work. Pastor Bridget goes to work. I go back to bed. And it's becoming a lifestyle. Worship me early in the morning. And my other niece said, you know what? You shouldn't lend your car to people. I said, it really don't bother me. I'm not looking for no reward because I lend my car. If a person needs it, they say, but that's a big responsibility, just letting people have your car. And what can they do to it? I mean, I have insurance. If they tear it up, they tear it up. I mean, that's my attitude. I'll lend the car. You know, they can't do no more to that car than I can do. So it's not a big thing. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant. God knows each and every one of us in the womb to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. I say that every day. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, if you give me your strength, and a lot of times when people are teaching, they say, here come my help. Pastor says that all the time. My help is here. And she means she can feel God. The presence of God is here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse I love more than anything because I can. A lot of times, and I had Pastor Bridget to pray for me Sunday, and I thought, girl, you know, I barely made it here. It was so slow. You're talking about being 80. I felt like I was 80. And that girl, I don't have no strength, seems like. And she prayed for me, and I felt better. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And a lot of times you feel, whoa, you feel that strength. You feel the help. And it's just beautiful because you know for a shadow of a doubt, you know that you come into the church barely able to walk. You know, when God moves me, he moves me quickly. Carolyn's mother was another person. She moved so quickly, she knocked people out of her way. Boom. I try not to knock people out of my way, but I know they tell me to slow down, but when I'm walking in church, look like I just want to move. And I do. I walk fast. And when I can't walk fast, I feel like I don't have the strength. I really, you know, and I told Pastor Bridget, pray for me, pray. The effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can feel the prayers of the righteous. When Pastor says that he's praying for us, it's true. It's really, really true. It's true. You can feel that somebody is praying for you and wants you to be strong. And my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer, of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despised, to him whom the nation abhorred, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. We didn't choose God. Nah, we didn't. He chose us yet while we were in sin. The Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. We do. We have so much to be thankful for. We got food. We got clothes. We got a roof over our head. We can walk. We can move. We can talk. We can look and see the day begin. Drive the car. I mean, we need to be thankful. Especially when you go outside and you pass by the homeless people and people that are not as fortunate as you are. It says, there go me, but by the grace of God. We need to be thankful. We need to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you, and thank you, and thank you again. We need to be thankful. We do. There was a man at Sangamon Tower, and he had both of his legs cut off. And then he sat up in a wheelchair. And I asked him, how do you sleep? Do you get in the bed? He said, no, I just sleep sitting up in that chair. We need to be thankful. There go me, but by the grace of God, we need to be thankful. And when I see Brother Lewis come to church and he have one leg, I said, man, you know, I can admire that. You don't let nothing stop you. You don't. He said when his leg was taken off, he was depressed, but then he started glorifying God. And he works around the church. He get in the kitchen and he cook. He dresses up. And when he dresses up, he looks handsome. Him and Lane, they're over the kitchen, Delana. And, I mean, you can admire people, Mother Holly. You can admire people that continue to do regardless of what they're going through. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. I can say it over and over and over and over again and again. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to be thankful. We need to be grateful that this country only experienced, you know, 9-1-1. They were celebrating, you know, talking about it. I'm grateful that I'm born here in America. We need to be thankful. We do. I'm grateful for this country that we have plenty of food. We do. Even when the homeless is out there begging for food, sometimes I give them money and sometimes I don't. And then sometimes I tell them to go over there, you know, where they can get food because we got plenty of food. They don't have to eat out of garbage cans and things of that nature. I mean, they have churches giving out food on every Tuesday, Table Life giving out food on Thursdays, and backpacks. And there's so many places. I remember when COVID was here, they opened up 19 centers to give out food to the people. They increased everybody's food stamps. We need to be thankful. And when they had blackout or flooding, do you know what they did? They had agencies. They took out all the food out of people's refrigerators, and they had different agencies that were giving people $100 to reimburse the food that they lost. We need to be thankful. There's churches that give out food every Tuesday. Every Tuesday. And give our food. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. And just like the people that are begging, if God leads me to give them money, to give them money. I know in Los Angeles, this man was begging for money. And I think I gave him probably $3. And then he turned around. He said, thank you. I'm going to go get me some alcohol. And I said, what? He said, well, lady, if I had told you that I'm going to take this money and go get me a drink, he said, you wouldn't have given me that money. He said, because I told you I was hungry, you gave me the money. But see, he didn't have to tell me that. All he had to do was take the money and go on. But no, he wanted me to know what he was going to do with that money. So you have to be led by God, whether you should give the people money or go buy them some food. Be led by God, because a lot of times you're being deceived, and they're not going to use that money for food. They're going to use that money to do whatever they want to do. There was a man in Los Angeles. He would come to L.A. from the valley, and he would dress like a bum, stand on the corners and beg. And they told his story on the news that when he retired from begging. He told us he had a fine house. He had two cars. And he told us how much money. He said he had plenty of money in his bank account. He said begging was a way of life. He said he lived, you know, in the valley and come to Los Angeles just to beg, because begging was his job. He said, you'd be surprised how people would give to homeless people or people that's dressed down and raggedy. He said, you'd be shocked. He said, because he made begging a living. Man, I was shocked when they told that story. He made begging a living. He said, the Holy One of Israel, he has chosen you. God has chosen us. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time, I've heard you. In the day of salvation, I've helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritage, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed along the road, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst. Neither heat or sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them. They shall neither hunger nor thirst. You shall not be hungry. You shall not be hungry. And you shall not be thirsty. And like I say, they have plenty. They have plenty pantries, plenty churches. And most all the churches here in Springwood still got a day to give out food. And even, you know what our pastor Jesse does? Even if it's not a day to give out food and somebody comes to the church saying that they're hungry, she makes sure that they take a bag of food home. She's not going to let them leave out of there saying that they're hungry. I have seen her pay light bills, help people get cars. I've seen her do all that. She's just like Jesus said to be. Help the poor, help the needy. She stretches herself. And sometimes I look at her, I say, Pastor, go home and get some rest. Pastor Bridget does the same thing. Them saints around Dave of Life Ministry, Pastor Washington, them saints be working. They be working. Stacy, they be working. Them young saints, Al, them young people be working, and it's good. God gives it to the young people to go on and do that work, clean the church. And I've seen Pastor. She can't stand anything, the house of God, especially the house of God. She'd be picking up this and be picking up that. You know, she sees everything, and it's beautiful because she's not going to let the house of God. Even on the outside, you'll see Pastor picking up paper. She wants the house of God to be beautified. And like she says, when you see something, and sometimes I don't, pick it up. It's not going to hurt you to pick it up. And like the young people, she does not let the young people eat in the sanctuary. It's the house of God. And she wants you to respect God's house, because the sanctuary is where we have the presence of Almighty God. We bring that presence into the house.
So respect the house of God. It says they shall neither hunger nor thirst. Neither heat or sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them. That means that's God. God has mercy on his children. He gives us mercy, something that we don't deserve. A lot of times when we do something, we don't deserve mercy, and we know that. But God gives mercy. He gives us mercy. And when you give a person something that they don't deserve and they know it, it breaks them down. It makes them cry and wonder, why did you do that? Because we're trying to be like Jesus. God gives us mercy, and we need to give people mercy. When they do something, don't just rub it in and talk about them. Give them mercy. Even by the springs of water, he'll guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the south, and from the lands of Simeon. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. It says, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, break out in singing. Valerie, break out in singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If you can't sing, Stacy, when she's singing beautifully, I can make a joyful noise. And Pastor Bridget, when they're singing beautifully, I still can make a joyful noise. They say, all of you people who can stand up and make a joyful noise, but you can't do nothing but make a joyful noise. I stand, and then I sit back down, but I do stand. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Lord knows your heart, and a lot of times he didn't give it to you to sing anyway. You can only make a joyful noise. So make that joyful noise. Make it. Praise ye the Lord. Glorify his name. Break out in singing, O mountain. Be joyful, O earth. You can do that. You really can. If you want to, you have to want to do something in order to do something. And you know, we're getting down to the end. It'll soon be 8:00. I don't have the words of wisdom from Carolyn, but you know what? Her daughter, Chelsea, had that baby girl, and the baby is beautiful. Mom is doing good, and Francis and Carolyn, all of them are doing well. So that baby fine, and it's a 7-pound baby girl. That baby is big, a 7-pounder. I thought the baby was going to be a preemie or something. The baby's a big baby, 7-pounder. So I don't have the words from Carolyn today, but you know what? I'm going to close, and I'm going to close with a prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank and praise you for today's lesson, and we thank and praise you for the doers of the word, the hearers of the word. God, we give you praise, and let that airplane take them where they have to go safely. Bring them back safely. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We magnify your name. For God, you are holy. You are holy. You are holy, holy, holy. If there's anybody on the line that wants to speak, this is the time to do it. This is the time to say something. You just punch number 7 if you want to get on the line. God is good. And he's good all the time. And I said, right now, it's not raining. But in Jesus' name, we're going to close this out. And we want you to know that we love you. We thank God for you. And we're saying, have a blessed day. For God is good. He's good all the time. And it really is foggy outside. The only, basically, where I see that is